What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching, but thank God I've been. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching. I was lost and I was searching. But thank God I know I've been found.
Amen. Anybody know for sure that you've been found by the grace of God tonight? Amen. Brother Brian, would you take us, Lord, tonight in a word of prayer? Choir, if you would remain standing. Church, stand with me tonight. Turn over to page number 177. Page 177. Let's all sing, Are You Washed in the Blood? All right, sing now. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? All right, catch your breath. We're going to sing that last verse together now. On the last. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated, church. Choir, you can be seated as well. You can look across the congregation as well as the choir tonight and realize that it's a fall break. Everybody's either out of town or getting ready to go out of town. So let's make that a matter of prayer for those who will be traveling this week. Children's Home, I believe, leaves in the morning. So let's remember them in prayer that the Lord would keep them all safe. And as well as many others, Amanda and them are leaving, I think, on Tuesday and trying to make some things ready. And so let's pray that they'll just be safe. Again, it's kind of the last time of the summer, I think, sometime this week. Maybe tomorrow is the first day of fall. And we're going to have 90s. Back, we're back. headed back to the 90-degree range. So, but let's just keep one another in prayer. We spoke about that. Brother Ceylon, I believe, mentioned that this morning. We need to pray for one another. Amen. But it's so good to see you in the house of the Lord here tonight. I'm going to ask Miss Jackie if she'll make that announcement one more time. We've got a lot of young folks in the house tonight. The one that she made this morning, you might want to listen to this.
Sunday or just whenever, and every week we're going to pull out one of the verses, and whoever's name's on the back of it will give you $5. $5 might not be much, but it'll get, at least get you a burger and some fries or something. So $5 for every verse each week that we pull out a different name. It'll get you in your Bible, it'll get you studying, unless you already have a favorite verse. And I don't want to see John 3:16 come in with 15 verses. Everybody pick out, and it can't be really, really long, so it'll fit on the board, but I don't want just "he wept" either. I want you to search the scriptures and come up with a good verse to give to us.
One of you guys put that verse "he wept" on there. You may understand what that "he wept" is all about. But it is a great challenge, and it's a great opportunity for you to get into the Word of God. I trust that each one of you have a favorite verse of Scripture. We all should. And we need to study. We need to find out what God has for us out of His Word. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. If you're visiting with us, you're our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship, and we look forward to what God has in store for us tonight. What a great message this morning, amen? And a great moving of the Holy Spirit, so we look forward to what the Lord has to say to us tonight from His Word through the man of God. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer, and I'd ask God's blessing on the offering as well.
Thank you. days, weeks, months, and even years, we look back and realize that we lose our loved ones many times. None of those times are ever easy. Leonard and Dolores, and Ceylon, and the list goes on, and even though it may have been years ago, it never really seems to get easy. And those memories, we remember those times that we go through, and birthdays and holidays are hard when we think about we don't have those loved ones with us anymore. But many times this song comes to mind. I'm going to ask Brother David if he'll sing the verses, and the choir will back him up. What a day that's going to be. We spoke about it a little bit last week for homecoming, when we can put aside sickness and sorrows and heartaches. But more than anything else, what a day it's going to be when we're able to see Jesus face to face. We will praise Him, we'll worship Him forevermore. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Stay, that will be.
Amen.
have a great uncle that we are going to memorialize him. He went home to be with the Lord the night before last, and Ben Camp, Jackie Camp, members of Brother Larry Rich's church, Victory Baptist, and it was Brother Ben, my great uncle, Aunt Jackie, that prayed for me and my salvation for a number of years. And I want to just say this, that I really felt impressed to go visit with him a couple of weeks ago, and I'm glad that I did. And whenever you feel impressed to do something, you know, it's best to just go ahead and do it, because you just never know what a day may bring. But this is a celebration of his home going, and so I wanted to share that with you. Let's take our Bibles tonight for a few moments and go back to the New Testament, book of John, chapter number 13. John chapter number 13, and fall break this week, so my sidekick will be with me this week, and I'm looking forward to a fun week. But anyway, and I hope everybody has a good and safe time down in Florida, and safe travels, and anybody else that's going out of town or is out of town. John chapter number 13. I want to begin reading from verse number 1, and then we will bring our title. But let's pray, and then we'll read verse 1 of John 13. Father, we come one more time, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would show us something tonight from your word. Lord, let it be light. Let it be life. And I pray by the time we leave today, this evening, in a few moments from now, that we would be better than we were before we came, better of knowing your will and your ways through the truths of your word. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John 13, verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, focus on this phrase, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I want to focus on that one verse as our launching pad tonight to set forth the message. And I want to talk to you on this subject, living every day like it's your last day. Living every day like it's your last day. If you knew that your hour was coming to meet Jesus, what would you do in one day? I mean, if you knew that your hour was come, what would you do before leaving this world? There's a show on one of the History Channel's documentaries, and it's called The Final 24. It's where they interview the families of celebrities that the final 24 hours of their life. Some of them left this world on good things happening, but others, basically the majority of them, left on a bad note, some of the celebrities. But the final 24, what if tomorrow was your final 24 hours here on earth? What would you do? How would you manage your day? The Bible says that last phrase in verse number 1, that he loved them unto the end. I mean, when Jesus knew that his time was coming and he was getting ready to pasture the garden onto the cross, what was it that he did? Well, tonight I want to mention just a few things that, at least from chapter number 13, that what he did on his way to the cross as his time was approaching. He knew it was approaching. And so what happened? What did he do? What can we glean from what he did in our lives if tomorrow would be our last day? Now, let me just go ahead and say that this isn't outrageous to think about. Because if you remember in Proverbs 27, verse number 1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In other words, we can only put so much stock in tomorrow, because the truth of the matter is, we don't know if tomorrow will ever get here. I mean, we don't know if we're going to make it through tonight. Life is so unexpected with the phone calls that we get and these bodies that we live in. I mean, it's amazing to know how everything works and operates simply and basically by the Word of God. It's because of God He keeps everything in motion. Anything could happen at any time. But living every day like it's your last day, what would you do? What did Jesus do? I want you to notice, number one, Jesus loved to the end. He loved to the end. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. I believe that Jesus loved the world. He loved His own, but He loved the world. John 3:16 says so. And He did it all the way to the cross, and now in eternity, it's that love continued. But He loved to the end. And it would be good for us to continue that love to the end. I mean, if we had one more day to live, what would we do? Well, Jesus loved to the end. Let us all continue to love. We never know when our last day is coming. What about those that were hard to love? Listen to this. What about Judas that betrayed Him? What about Judas that deceived Him? He betrayed Him with a kiss. Yet the Bible says that Jesus loved to the end. This is a godly love. This is an unconditional love. This is Jesus' love. I mean, here's a man, Judas, that, again, betrayed Him with a kiss. He deceived Him, which led to His arrest. But we know ultimately that was part of God's plan. We know that. God was in control of that. But there was Judas, and he was one in my mind that would be hard to love. Someone that betrayed you and someone that deceived you, and yet there was this call to love that person. Well, if we want to love like Jesus loved, then we would love people like Judas. Those that betray and those that deceive. But what about Peter? Peter was one who denied the Lord. I mean, we got down to the closing moments of Christ's life, and Peter said, I don't know Him. And the men of the surrounding areas, in fact, by the very speech of Peter, they said, your speech is betraying you, man. You're from Galilee. You know Jesus. I don't know Him. I don't know Him. What about in life when times get thick and heavy and I don't know Him? They're not there for you. I mean, this is exactly what happened to Jesus. Peter denied Him. Jesus actually told Peter, you're going to deny Me three times. He knew it and He chose to love him anyway. That's the kind of love that us Christians ought to display. And it's hard at times to love some that are rough. But listen, that is the call and the mandate upon all of us. It's easy to love those that love us, isn't it? But what about that person on the job or at school? That person that you live next to. Hopefully you don't live next to anybody that you're just absolutely against. That's a terrible way to live. Or anywhere. But what about it? What are you going to do with the topic of love? And so we know that Judas was a betrayer, deceiver. Peter, he denied. He had a hot temper, yet Jesus loved them to the end. The best advice I can give tonight, if we had one more day to live, all of us, one more day to live, is that we would love to the end. Just unconditional love. Living every day like it's your last day ought to be a day that is filled with love. Romans 5 and verse number 8. I love it. I refer to it often, but it's true. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While He was on the cross, we were on His mind. And listen, everything, every sin that was to be committed, past and present, before we were even born to commit any sin, was already taken care of on the cross, only to be accepted by salvation and forgiven. I want you to turn, if you would, to Romans 5. I want to point something out. Romans chapter number 5, look in verse number 6. Romans 5 and verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now look at this. For scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. If you find a righteous man, in verse number 7, you might find somebody that would die. But for a good man, he said, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Chances aren't high that one would die for a good man. Very rare some would die for a righteous man. But verse number 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see here that Jesus, he was supreme in love. He was supreme and is supreme in righteousness. And he reaches levels that no other man can reach as far as righteousness. Yet, without sin, he died for us. He publicly displayed a love that should be loved to the end by all of us. So we see in our verses tonight that Jesus loved to the end. And if we were to live every day like it's our last day, love would be exhibited. I want to mention another thing. Back in John chapter number 13, not only Jesus loved to the end, the closing days of his life, but number two, Jesus longed to fulfill his work in the closing days of his life. Notice verse number 2 of chapter 13. And supper being ended, look in verse number 4. He riseth from supper. Jesus is leaving the table, as we mentioned this morning. And he is on his way to the garden. Gethsemane. Gethsemane. He is on his way to that garden. And yet the cross was still in view. The garden didn't slow him down. All of the torments didn't slow him down. The beatings, the scourgings, the crown of thorns, the plucking of his beard didn't slow him down. But these were the last moments of his life, and he longed to fulfill his work. Hebrews chapter number 12, I love this verse. Verse number 2 says this, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12, let me get there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus was going to fulfill his work. He desired to. That was his mission. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, in closing days, had in full view of the goal that he wanted to accomplish, and that was his Father's will. And Jesus longed to fulfill his work. And so as supper was over and the institution of the Lord's Supper was over, he spoke to his disciples about some things, and we'll mention a couple in just a moment. But then he went through the garden scene, agonizing with God in prayer, and then went up Golgotha's hill and finished his work. Let me ask a question tonight. If you had 24 hours left to live, what business would you be about? What would be your last moments of life concerning the business that you would take care of? What would you do when it comes to the service of the Lord? What would you long to do? What kind of work would you want to fulfill and to complete? What business would you attend if you only had a day to live? Back in John 13, in verse 1, he says, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, number one, he loved to the end. Number two, he longed to fulfill his work. But then number three, Jesus made life meaningful to others. Now, in verse number 4, the Bible says that he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel therewith he was girded. Jesus made life meaningful to others. He instilled serving to others while his hour was coming. He instilled serving others, and he instilled humility. What better way to leave this world than leaving something behind so deep and meaningful and of good character than humility and service to God? Let us all leave meaningful lessons and principles like serving others and staying humble and kind, not just today but tomorrow. Living every day like it's our last day. Jesus, as he rose from the table, he began to wash the disciples' feet, and he was teaching them a lesson in humility and service to others. You know, I was looking at the word joy the other day, and you can do an acrostic on joy. Take the letters J-O-Y, and you can sum up how to get it. J stands for Jesus first. The O stands for others second. And Y can stand for yourself last. Jesus, others, and yourself. And I guarantee you, your joy will be full. And you, as the Bible says, will be addicted to the ministry. You see, Jesus, he made life meaningful. He knew his hour was coming, and so he girded himself. And he took the towel, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, a lot of things took place here. Peter said, well, not just my feet, Lord, but wash me all over. Oh, Peter. You know? And Jesus said, Peter, once you've been washed, you've been washed. Once you're saved, you're always saved, but the feet get dirty. And from time to time, just another angle you can look at these verses here about the feet washing is that our feet do get dirty. So it wasn't a matter and a picture of getting saved all over again, but it was a picture of humility. It was a picture of service to others, but also it gave a picture of our coming to Christ daily in confession and repentance, staying repentant up to date, as Bill Stafford would say. So Jesus made life meaningful to others. He instilled serving others and humility. He longed to fulfill his work. We talked about the garden this morning, Gethsemane. And then he loved to the end. My question tonight is this: what would you do if every day, or what would you do if tomorrow would be your only day alive? You know, we need to live every day like it's our last day. Let us all continue to love, continue to serve, and continue to look for opportunity for what the Lord might have us do. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight. And Lord, what a joy it was just preaching on you today about your time in the garden, and then tonight as you were speaking to us about how you left this world. Help us, Lord, to continue in your love. Just find opportunity to do good to all men and to operate, Lord, out of our spiritual gifts, whatever they may be, to serve you. Because it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength to continue on. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand to your feet. We have a verse of invitation. If you need to come, you come.